Hi, everybody. This is Phil the Issues Guy from issuesprogram.com and Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Do you like television? Do you like talking about television? Do you have problems and can't sleep at night? If you any of those things are true, come on down and join Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube, Phil's Recap and Review, or check out issuesprogram.com to check out our stuff. Basically, what we do is we talk a lot about television, some movies, but mainly television. We do post-episode recaps, live viewings, drunk commentary games, and just general analysis. So if you love television, you don't have a ton of people to talk about television, or you just cannot get enough of some of these awesome shows like Vikings, Better Call Saul, Westworld, Game of Thrones, even The Walking Dead, and some other random shows that just pop up here and there. If you cannot get enough of all those programs and you want to talk about them, jump on over, join in the live motherfucking chat with some of the best people in the world that all share their thoughts real time whenever we go live. So if you subscribe to the YouTube channel, you follow the YouTube channel by clicking that little bell thing, you can find out anytime we go live. You can also check out issuesprogram.com for a backload of all of our stuff and check out our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and lots of other places. Huge thanks to all of you, and hope you check it out and hope you enjoy it. And I'll talk to you guys next time.
And now, the Boston Bastard Brigade, Electric Sisterhood, and Omnis Training proudly present No Borders, No Links, the world's J-pop and alternative hotspot.
Konnichiwa, my bastards and wenches, and welcome to another episode of No Borders, No Race. I am your King Baby Duck, Evan Borgo. Thank you once again for tuning in. Yes, we are back. I know it's been quite a hectic month at Boston Bastard Brigade, what with Anime Boston reporting and video game and anime review catch-ups, which is why I made the safe and less hectic choice and put this podcast on the back burner for a little bit while as I caught up on this work. People may not realize this, but unless I have guests on my show, doing No Borders, No Race is a one-man job. Making the playlist, finding recent info on the bands I'm spinning, looking up news stories to comment on, writing my notes and script about said news stories, recording the show, adding background music like what you're hearing right now from Miss Kobayashi's Dragon Maid, one of our favorite shows of 2017 thus far, and then writing up the actual post on the B3 page, posting it, putting it on Facebook, blah, 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 yada, yada, so on and so forth. There's simply a lot that goes into making just one episode of the show. So that's why I had to put a stop to it just for a little bit, but we are back. Now, before we start up our playlist, I want to give a very special thanks to the Anime Boston crew for a wonderful event and for all their assistance this past month. Angie, Jeremy, and the rest of the staff there were accommodating as ever for us, and it was fantastic to be able to report on it. And a very big thank you to Derek Smith, who assisted with the camera work. Without him, I don't think any video would have been shot. He actually saved my ass during the Masahiko Minami interview, as he was videotaping my question when my recorder stopped working. Hence why the audio is a little bit different during that one specific question in that podcast. And of course, the Wicked Anime Crew, 42 Believer, and our new pal Dakota Broski, who I'm going to try and see if I can get him on No Borders No Race in the near future. He was a blast to chat with. So with that, let's start off this week's playlist. Remember, As always, if you like what you hear and want to support these artists, you can grab just about all these records on cdjapan.co.jp, Yes Asia, Amazon.com, iTunes, Bandcamp, the band's official sites, and your local record store. We're going to be starting things off with one of the best vocalists in the J-pop world, and that is Yuki. You may be familiar with her stuff in Judy and Mary or via her solo material. This song comes off of her brand new album, Mamataki, which is sure to be on our top 20 albums list at the end of the year. This song is called Bus Girl.
Bus girl, stop, driver, 顔色もいいみたい。
From last year's T-Rex from a Tiny Space Yojohan, that was Guitar Wolf with The Queen of Bermuda. This year marks the 30th anniversary of Guitar Wolf, and they'll be returning to the West Coast of America this summer for a tour with Isaac Roth and the Phantoms. This past winter season, an unlikely anime hit was born with Kimono Friends, the story of the Animal Girls, a lost child, and the realm of Japari Park became a sensation over in Japan, with fan events and the like resulting in sold-out merchandise and enough popularity to merit a stage show starring the original voice acting cast. And when I saw how popular Kimono Friends got, I had to ask myself, why? I initially tried to watch the show, but was turned off by its really, really bad CGI. Actually, I think it was about a minute of watching the first episode before I wound up just shutting it off. Yet in Japan, it's like the biggest show of last season. It's what everybody is going crazy about. There's even like a penguin at the Tobo Zoo that's like smitten by a cutout of the Penguin Girl character, to the point where he's actually there staring at it for hours on end. It's actually kind of cute, so be sure to look up videos and pics of it if you can. So with this huge popularity of Kimono Friends, I decided to give it a second chance. I did my best to overlook the bad CGI and try to see what the fuss was all about. And it's a good thing I did, because Kimono Friends is surprisingly enjoyable. It's not a complex story, as it follows a serviette cat and a human girl who are attempting to figure out what kind of animal the human is. But I have to admit that the show is very relaxing to watch, kind of in the same vein as Non Non Biori and Kinyero Mosaic. What I also like is how there are these animal trivia things that appear in between the episode, with a zoologist teaching the viewers about the characters they'll be seeing or who have already been shown in the program. I think what makes Kimono Friends good is that it's innocent enough for kids to watch, but it doesn't talk down to the audience like most family shows do. You see, I hate kids' shows where the characters talk slowly and dumb down their vernacular. If you've ever had to babysit a kid and be forced to watch an episode of Jake and the Neverland Pirates, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. The adventures of Serval, the human Kaban, and the robot known as Lucky Beast is actually quite fun. It has shitty computer animation, no question about that. But if you're able to look past it like I did, you'll find a series that not only warms the heart, but tickles the funny bone for viewers of all ages. You can catch all 12 episodes of Kimono Friends on Crunchyroll, and with a new video project recently greenlit, we can hopefully see more adventures of Serval and the gang sometime in the near future. Now, if you have your own two cents regarding Kimono Friends, be it series thoughts or your favorite character, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbastbrigade.com. We'll be sure to share the best comments on a future episode. Right now, we're going to Thailand for a band that I believe should be on everybody's radar. That band is called Slot Machine, and they totally blew me away a couple weeks ago at the Brighton Music Hall. This song comes off of last year's Spin the World album, which was produced by Steve Lillywhite, who also worked with the likes of U2, The Killers, The Pogues, and The Rolling Stones. This track is called MRT.
とインファント防虫スプレー持ってるトロハカ原住民迷惑ハイライト打ち切り怪獣シリーズストライキの真っ最中状態キャッスル倒壊慣れてる名古屋名物1964さあ銀粉振りまいて糸握り縛り上げ GOTRA 白旗あげても許さんぜ乾電池新天地天変地深夜の丸の内絶対絶命的状況一つ上の怪獣に急成長塩に殺しただただ人も身をも恨みさらまし哀れくも受け継ぐ我が名はただただ島に輝きし揺らめきし
Campanella with Mothra from the 2014 album Cinema Jack. This past February, the Electronica Trio unleashed their latest album, Superman, and will be embarking on the In the Box tour throughout Japan starting this June. A couple years back, the Misties of the world, myself included, went on the Kickstarter and helped revive one of the greatest TV shows ever concocted, Mystery Science Theater 3000. A show about a guy and a couple of wisecracking robots riffing on bad movies played a big part in my childhood and my love for comedy. So when word got out that its creator Joel Hodgson wanted to bring it back, well, how can you say no to that? Last month, Netflix finally released all 14 episodes of the new 11th season of the show, with Jonah Ray as the new specimen and Felicia Day and Patton Oswalt as the new mods. Now, as mentioned, I've been a massive fan of the show since I was really young. And while I was excited about the return of MST3K, I did have that minor fear that it wouldn't be as good as the past episodes. It does take a couple of the new episodes to get used to the new things, especially Baron Vaughn as the new voice of Tom Servo and Rebecca Hansen as the new Gypsy. But I will have to say that Avalanche, the Beast of Hollow Mountain, the Love of Hercules, and Yongari definitely stand as some of the greatest episodes of Mystery Science Theater 3000 ever made. And the rest of them are really good too. I love how Jonah, Crow, and Tom Servo interact more when in the theater watching the film, whether it's playing with drones that just so happens to censor some nudity, or watching Crow ride a pony throughout the theater while throwing insults. Even if one joke doesn't quite work, there will be another one soon after waiting in the wings that certainly will. Kind of like how it used to be in the older shows. The inventions and musical numbers were great too, and seeing the likes of Neil Patrick Harris, Jerry Seinfeld, and Mark Hamill joining in on the fun made it feel just a little bit more special. All in all, the return of Mystery Science Theater 3000 is something that I think everyone, new and old to the show, will certainly enjoy. Here's hoping that enough people sit down and relax to watch it, that we'll have more seasons of this revival in the long run. As a lifelong fan, Mystery Science Theater 3000, The Return, is all right in my book, and I'm sure many other fans feel the same way. Here's the title track from Man With a Mission's latest EP, which was produced and co-written by Fall Out Boy's Patrick Stump. It also serves as the theme song for the Japanese film Shinjuku Swan 2. It's called Dead End in Tokyo.
There's a
instrumental there from their debut mini album Total Squaresville. That was Pattern Language with Le Choc d'Étoiles, which is French for the Star Shock. You can grab Total Squaresville in stores on June 16th. Very reminiscent of 80s synth pop. A very enjoyable record for those late night drives. Very soon, maybe in the next couple weeks or so, I'll be writing my review of Alice and Zoroku on the B3 site. Now, for those who don't know, this was the show I picked for the spring 2017 anime that everyone should watch for the Wicked Anime Nerdy Show article. Thus far, I am really loving the series, but there is something bothering me about Alice and Zoroku that I hope doesn't turn into a full-fledged problem. And that is its product placement. The series of Alice and Zoroku is a beautiful-looking series that does a great job balancing action, humor, and drama all throughout an episode. And in fact, don't be surprised if you see it land somewhere near the top of my top anime list of 2017. But when you have a serious moment occur, and then just flash a Carl's Jr. cup and burger right in the viewers' faces, it takes away some of the powerful elements of the more dramatic pieces. And then for Sana to be given a Snickers bar during a fast-paced battle between Mini-C and Ichiro, you know, I have no other way to say it. That was fucking terrible. Ichiro might as well have said something like, "You're not you when you're hungry." Or the earlier tagline, "You're not going anywhere for a while, Sana. Grab a Snickers." You know, this isn't the only time anime has found some blatant product placement within a show. Carl's Jr. found itself in last season's Akiba's Trip, which was kind of appropriate, seeing as the show did its best to model the animated Akihabara to the real one, and there is a legit Carl's Jr. there. And for those who can remember a little ways back, Code Geass had tons of Pizza Hut ads spread throughout the series. You know, perhaps what makes it weird is that these are, like, American companies being blatantly showcased in these series. Usually it's a knockoff of a company that's shown, like how in The Devil Is a Part-Timer they had McDonald's and Kentucky Fried Chicken. So it's just strange seeing the real deal in an anime rather than a fake brand. Now, not all product placement in anime is bad. After all, Dagashikashi was basically an infomercial for all types of Japanese candies. However, because it taught outsiders like myself about these treats and had some great characters and fun trivia, it was both entertaining and informative. The candies are being promoted right in your face, but because of how Kokunatsu, Hotaru, and Saya react to them and their surroundings, it still feels rather subtle. But this is beside the point I'm trying to make. What I'm getting at is that some product placement can be presented in a less blatant manner. And what I've seen thus far with Alice and Zoroku is some of the worst excuses of showing a product in a series. I'm sure that JC's staff is being given money from Carl's Jr. and Mars Candy to help make the series, but you couldn't just, like, place a billboard in the background of a scene or on a passing bus or even have walked by like a display in a convenience store or something that wasn't so fucking shoved down your throat. That's how you advertise properly. Be subtle with its presence and the consumers will come. But anyway, I'm loving Alice and Zoroku. I enjoyed Akiba's Trip and I'm sure these product placements aren't going anywhere anytime soon. Here's hoping they just don't get worse. Now, speaking of Akiba's Trip, we've got a new track from the J-pop trio Mimi 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 that can be found on the Akiba's Trip compilation album Akiba's Collection, which features all the end themes used for its duration. This one goes by the name Rirai Mira.
それでも I'm a zero man 頑固で孤独な男さ何もない何もいらないあなた以外は金もない時間も
2015's opera, that was Okamoto's with Zero Man. The album is, of course, a rock opera about a man who loses his phone, wallet, and keys, resulting in him becoming blind, deaf, and an amnesiac. A very good album. And be sure to check out the interview I did with Okamoto's at Anime Boston on the Boston Bash Brigade site. So the other day, I saw that a free demo had appeared in the Xbox store for Bethesda's Prey reboot. And before I start, I know the full game will be in stores a couple days after this podcast is recorded, so apologies if this feels like old news. Anyways, I dive into the demo, and at first it feels pretty cool. I fly to a headquarters, do a few tests, and something goes catastrophically wrong. I wake up, deja vu somewhat occurs, and I find out that my reality has been a massive simulation. So far, so good. Once I leave the safety of my area, I soon find that I'm actually in outer space, where everyone else save for my brother and another character are seemingly dead. I then find the cause of this massive death, these things of black goopy matter that can be sometimes transformed into more muscular goop beings. And I feel like this is where my interest in the game started to dwindle. I then saw that I had to earn these sorts of credits to learn how to do certain tasks in an RPG manner, and again, interest in Prey dwindled even more so. To me, it feels like from this demo that Prey is trying to mix up various games into one, like having the deathly horrors of Dead Space, the RPG system of Fallout, and the fast-paced action of Doom. And on paper, it sounds like a rather good idea. Execution-wise, on the other hand, it feels like wet putty playing it. Granted, this is just my impression from the demo, but usually, first impressions of a game are most important in order to drag gamers in. In my opinion, this demo hasn't quite sold me on the overall Prey experience. Now, if you're interested in giving it a go, be sure to go to either the Xbox Store or PlayStation Store. No PC ones, though, but they'll honor Steam's refund system if you don't like it within the first 2 hours. Honestly, I'm glad that more demos for games are coming out, just like how it was on all the previous consoles. These days, you really don't know what you're signing up for game-wise until you get the full title. Personally, I believe if a developer, like, makes a demo for a game to show off at a convention or press event, said demo should be made available for all to try sometimes afterwards. Maybe not immediately after the con, but somewhere in between then and the game's release date. That's my 2 cents on that. But anyways, the Prey demo didn't really impress me much, and for Bethesda to not impress me, that's kind of shocking. Anyways, let's return to the playlist at hand. Coming up, we've got the dream pop duo Lunar Twin, who released their newest EP, Night Tides, this past March, and are currently working on their first full-length album. From Night Tides, this song is called Coral Sea.
See you. If these walls could speak, I never thought you'd find me. Sun and cold sea, even the twilight, even the twilight is blind.
Now
2010 album Magic Disc, that was Asian Kung Fu Generation with Bitter Orange. Last year, they did something rather peculiar and re-recorded the entirety of their hit 2004 album Solfa with brand new arrangements. Their newest version of Riri was used as the opening to the hit anime Erased, which is now getting a live-action TV adaptation on Netflix, so good on them! Well, that about wraps up this week's episode of No Borders, No Race. Remember, for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bastard Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, if you're in a band and want to be featured on the show, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbastardbrigade.com. You can follow me on Twitter at KingBabyDuckESH, on the J-pop, anime, and video games amino pages at KingBabyDuckESH, on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com, and on Twitch at twitch.tv/omnistryinc. Like us on facebook.com/BostonBashBrigade and on facebook.com/LandOfEsh. And don't forget about all the other sites under the Land of Esh, including the Electric Sisterhood, Phil's Recap and Review, Smashed Rook, and Nerd Crave. Promotional consideration for this week's tracks from Pattern Language and Lunar Twin provided by Shameless Promotion PR. Thank you, as always, for sending down these incredible artists for us to spin. Today, we're going to be ending things with a J-pop trio who I've fallen head over high tops in love with, and that is Satellite Young. All their songs sound like they should be in like the greatest anime series of the 80s and early 90s, giving off a killer retro vibe that more Japanese pop artists should take a cue from. This particular track will sound familiar to those who watch the web series Senpai Club, and can be found on their self-titled album that we gave 4.5 stars to. Here now are Satellite Young with Don't Graduate, Senpai. And until next time, this is your King Baby Duck reminding you that you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard. But it sure helps.
Love,
guys. This is Evan Borgo from the Electric Sisterhood and host of the No Borders, No Race podcast. What you hear each week on our show is but a mere taste of what you can expect from these talented artists from Japan, America, Europe, and the rest of the world. So if you enjoyed something from this week's selections, go to cdjapan.co.jp, amazon.com, iTunes, Bandcamp, the band's official sites, or your local record store to help give these artists your support. We always give our readers and listeners the links to the albums from the respective songs we've spun. So if something resonated with you, give that album name a click and get that record in your possession. Who knows? That one album purchase may help to bring your favorite J-pop artist one step closer to your town. So until next time, keep your volume dimed out and remember to spread the Japanese music revolution wherever your roads take you.